Okay, guys, let's get started. I still have three. That's for keeping you in the room. Because I'm not sure you're going to stay. It's late. Beers are calling. Thanks, guys, for coming. You want to have fun? That's the session for that. We're going to have demos. And what do you see right now? You should see that. Shouldn't you? Hello? Oh, sorry. That's me. It's always me. Okay. So we're going to talk about Azure IoT from the developer's perspective. And that's an introduction. My role at Microsoft is I'm a PM, so I'm the one to blame. We never get credit when it works. Devs do. But basically, I'm the PM in charge of all the developer SDKs for Azure IoT. And you'll see what that means in a second. I'm planning to do tons of demos. If I run over, someone gets me a beer and I'll continue. Anyways, you have the board, so you have to stay. And so we'll see how many of these demos we can tackle. Before going into the demos, which will be in about 5-10 minutes max, I want to kind of give you a high-level pictures, a picture of what Azure IoT is, what we do, and why we do that. Has any of you gone to the previous session about the vision, roadmap, blah, blah, blah thingy? Cool. So there were two of them, right? There was the one about the Microsoft IoT vision, and then there was one about the Azure IoT vision, okay? So here we're talking about Azure, not about the Microsoft global vision, which at the end of the day is pretty the same. So in order to do IoT and to offer IoT solutions to our customers, we have two approaches. The first one is to deliver services, a bunch of, you know, Lego blocks that our customers can grab, aggregate, configure, and so forth. As part of these services, there are some of them that are really IoT specific. One is called Azure IoT Hub, and we'll see a bit about what it is, how it works, and so forth. This is basically the core of the IoT scenarios when it comes to connecting devices to the cloud. And then you have other ones that are not especially IoT specific, but can be used or are very much well designed for IoT scenarios. Azure Functions is a good example of that. And we'll try to make Azure Functions work well with other services during one of these demos. But building a solution, and you'll see some architectures and ideas what I'm talking about for very simple solutions, that's not super easy. You might be a guru in all Azure Resource Manager templates and PowerShell and so on, but our customers are not. And so what we want to do is deliver at the same time this bunch of services that it can go and do, you know, DIY type of projects, but we also want to provision solutions that are pre-configured. And this is what the Azure IoT Suite is about. So if you're confused about Azure IoT, IoT Hub, IoT Suite, so Azure IoT is the big name. Azure IoT Hub is the service, which is the gateway for devices to connect to the cloud. And Azure IoT Suite is a solution. That's a commercial offer, a bundle of services that people will be able to deploy on their subscription to build the IoT solution. Good. And this IoT solution, this IoT Suite, is a starting point. Right, so the idea is that you have something pretty generic. We have a couple now, which is remote monitoring and predictive maintenance. We're looking at adding more, but this definitely is a starting point. So people will be able to go there and you know, configure, change the services, replace by their own open source version of our stuff. They can change the UI, they can do whatever they want. So this is a typical architecture for the Azure IoT Suite remote monitoring solution. And the reason why I bring that up is because we've been like showing that, demonstrating that. I'm not going to go through the, hey, here is how to do IoT Suite, because you went to the keynote this morning and you saw the brilliant demo by Cameron Skinner, our dev lead, about IoT Suite. So, right, you went to the keynote, right?
Yeah. Okay.
He got the first one here. That's where you were the first one. Should I throw it? You guys are not fast enough. Still two to go. So this is the architecture. In a nutshell, you have the idea of like the IoT hub ingests data from devices, streaming its job, there's going to be doing some filtering, determining what type of data is coming from what device, throwing that into a blob so that we can consume that data later. That's what we call the call path. Or throw that into something which is transmitting streams from one place to another one, which is in that case Event Hub and could be something else. We have a web job that could totally be an Azure function, now we publish that, that will actually be used to do something with the events that have been posted into the Event Hub. Okay. Okay, yeah, I'm not going to stop here. I still have two boxes to give away. So we also use other services like Active Directory, Power BI for the UI, and things like that. Let me not go into too many details. The demo you saw this morning at the keynote with the shirt was actually based on that exact solution with some tricks, some additions to it. We added some Azure functions and logic apps. You didn't see the logic apps part that ingested Twitter, but we'll play with Twitter later during the demos. You'll play with Twitter. And basically, you'll see how the function will trigger an action within the IoT suite using some magic. But here's an example, a very like small example of how you can customize a pre-configured solution like remote monitoring. So then, if you don't want to do remote monitoring and a pre-configured solution, you can do it yourself. You can start from one of our IoT starter kits. Not yet. You can start from one of our samples. So we have a bunch of samples out there, end-to-end samples, simple Hello World samples for various type of devices from the service perspective, from the device perspective. These slides will be available so you can download and go to the, all these links. Or you can start from scratch. If you are one of these guys, like, hey, I want to do it myself. I want to write my compiler before writing code. You can go there. And some are like that, right? And so you can go to the portal of Azure and start building things. You can build your own ARM template. And you can look at our Azure IoT SDKs once again. So what's in these boxes and tools for you to get started? Because when you're a developer, you don't want to get started from scratch. The Azure IoT Hub service exposes REST APIs and also supports some M2M protocols like AMQP or MQTT. But you don't want to like do it yourself. So we want to provide the tools for you to get started. If you want to work on the other services, Azure SDKs, you know about them, various languages, and so on. When it comes to Azure IoT Hub, all our SDKs are open source. From the service perspective, when it comes to configuring the IoT Hub, adding devices in the registry, reading messages out, and so on, we have three SDKs, one for C#, one for Java, and one for JavaScript. We're looking at adding Python on the service side. On the device side of thing, we know that it's very important that we tackle the millions, billions of devices that are out there. And these devices are not running .NET. They are not running big, huge frameworks. They're usually running C, if not assembler. So we have the C SDK, which is our core. We developed all the stacks, all the communication protocols. We have our own version of that, optimized for tiny devices and for connecting to Azure IoT Hub. We have a JavaScript SDK, very useful, not only for demos, for prototyping. And we know JavaScript is coming super hard in the IoT space on the device side of things. We have Java, because a bunch of devices out there are running Java already, right? So it's important for us to be able to add our SDK to an existing solution. We have C#. Happy that on Monday, we published in the master branch a PCL. So you can use, and I'm going to show you, our C# SDK to target Android and iOS at the same time as WinRT. I know, like Scott Good took all the credit for all of that. Anyways, and we have Python since Monday as well. We published on Monday. Can you imagine? We are a developer team publishing on a Monday at the beginning of an event. In order for your life to be even easier, so you have all the code for all the SDKs, so you can compile, change, whatever, but we know it's easier using packages. NuGet, NPM, apt-get, Maven, all of these packages are available. We don't cover all the platforms, all the distros of Linux on the planet, but we try to be kind of exhaustive in a list of the things we cover. And for the suite, all the pre-configured solution, remote monitoring, and the other one are open source as well. everything. The ARM template, the code for the websites, the code for the simulators, the code that is behind in the worker roles and so on, everything is up there for you to play with. And then there's two tools I'm going to show you which allow you to develop and manage and play with all of that. It's never very easy to go to the portal. It's kind of slow. And if you want to do things like, hey, I'm heading that, I'm monitoring what's going on my device and so forth, it's very useful to have tools. We have a command line tool, which is a cross-platform based on Node. And we have a Windows tool, which is Device Explorer, and we're looking at which has a UI. And we're looking at having a cross-platform version of that UI tool soon. Let's go for demos. Yay! OK, let me switch to this guy here. I think no one will get the tool as kits, so I'll get them for myself. So what is the first thing I want to show you? How to create an IT hub. So you've seen the demo this morning about creating a full-blown IoT suite. So let me go to the portal, the slow one, which is slow. How my connection is OK? Yes, I'm here. And that's going to be interesting. OK, I'm here. So in that portal, I'm logged in. I have a subscription. I'm not paying for, but you are. You should be careful about that. I'm going to go to new. Guess what? Internet of Things, and the first on top, Azure IoT Hub. I'm going to put a name, choose a resource group, bloody, bloody, blada, and then I'm going to have my dear resource group with my IoT Hub in there. Oh, let me go here. It's going to be faster. Olivier Hub Demo. That's a cool name, right? That one really has like few services. What you would see is just the first thing, the IoT Hub on top here. So this IoT Hub here, once it's been created, you have various policies that you can define to access, manage, connect endpoints, like devices or applications to it. I want to go into the God mode. And so I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to pick the IoT Hub owner policy. I can do anything in there. I can do what I please. So this is like the high-level view of how you create an IT hub. Obviously, you want to create that with other tools when you become, you go into production. ARM templates is how you would do that today. We don't have PowerShell support yet. We don't have direct. We do have, in a way, Azure CLI tool support, because you can do an ARM template and spin it up with both PowerShell or the Azure CLI tools. But we're working on providing the right tools and APIs and functions for you to do that from your favorite tools, right? We want to be able to scale, and we want to allow you to scale. We do have, though, all the APIs for the service for you to productize the publication, the provisioning of devices, the monitoring of all the information, and so on. So that's in the box already. So you don't have to do, like, hey, add one device, add two devices, add three devices, retrieve the connection string. That I'm going to do today, but that's just for demo purposes, right? So the couple of tools I mentioned I want you to know about, one is a Node one, and it's called IoT Hub Explorer. So this guy has several commands. And these commands allow you to create a new device ID, to list what's existing in terms of device IDs, to send a message to a specific device, to monitor what's going on from a device, right? So that tool is very useful, especially if you love scripts, if you love CLI type of tools, command lines, and so on. That's great. And I'm going to maybe use it a little. And the other tool is called Device Explorer. And that's a little application that you can find on our GitHub repo as an installer. The code is also on the repo. And that one has a UI. It looks ugly. It's a developer tool. But that's OK. Is there a volunteer to help us make it look better? Oh, I saw you. Well, you signed up for doing development for me, right? Good, we have a kit at least. One left. You're here. So this is not super fun in terms of look and feel, but it works. So I could actually go in there, paste my connection string, update. And what I can do from here is look at the device IDs that are already registered in there. I can, let me actually scratch that one. OK, boom. I can also monitor devices data, but I removed all the devices, obviously. And you can send devices from the cloud to the device, from the cloud. I'm not sending from the device, from the thing here. I'm actually using APIs of the service to send a message back to the device. OK, so let's connect a device. Well, we have the tools here. I have my little connection string from the hub to create identities. So let me go in Visual Studio and do something there. So you guys are all Visual Studio fans and users, right?
Yes.
Oh. I'm having fun with that one. You're going to hate me, but that's fine. OK, so let me create a new project. And what I want to show you is a simple UWP app connecting to IoT Hub. Because we are in Windows world, it's built. I'm going to create a new app. I'm going to call it UWP IoT device. Hopefully, it will work. And we have a fun thing that has been published by our friends from Visual Studio, which is a connected service extension. So that one you can find on the extensions library, and you can use. And it's a very simple thing to do. Oh, everything is loaded. OK. I want to right-click on references and do Add Connected Service. And here, now we have Azure IoT Hub. Because going through the portal is lame. I know Scott Hanselman says that a lot. Everyone laughs. When I say it, no one laughs. It's lame. I'm going to get in trouble. Olivia Hub seems to be a good one, right? So I think that's the one I just used. So here, what happened is that the tool looked at my subscriptions, Nest, because I'm logged in, and listed all the existing Azure IoT Hub. I could have clicked on create a new one, but here I have an existing one. It lists the device IDs that are in there. Let me create a new one from the tool, and let me call it UWP device, for example. OK. From here, I'm going to say OK. And what it's going to do is going to actually create a new file in my project with a very simple class, two functions, send message, receive message. Send message, receive message. And here you have a web page that gives you instructions on how to do things. And now let's see if I remember what I wanted to do in here. So in my app, it's launched. And what I want to do is actually start doing some stuff in there. But that's not the page I want to do stuff in. What I want to do stuff in is in my main page. And it's coming. Hello? People are waiting for the question to get the box. I know you. OK, let me add a little button up there. Let me also add a little text box. Where is my text box? Text box or text block? Text block is good enough. Let's do that here. OK. And now what we're going to do is add a function here. And when I click the button, what I'm going to do is insert a little code snippet, UWP, and I'm going to send a message. Right. This guy actually will send a message. But obviously, I will show you the class in a second. I forgot to show you the class. It's not fair. Because I know what's going on. You don't. Let me add that. So this guy here, Azure Hub, is a static class that has been added to my project here, right? So static class. There's a device connection string that's been retrieved from the IoT Hub by the tool, by the extension. A bunch of like really nice comments have been auto-generated. And then I have this function, device to cloud message. And this one actually creates a device client using our C# SDK. So it brought in with NuGet, or it will, because I didn't build yet, the right libraries. And then I create a message, right? And then I send it. Three lines of code to send a message to the cloud securely. And the other one is about receiving. And receiving is something you do asynchronously. So basically, same thing, you create a client. And you're ready to receive. And then you wait a little so that you don't hijack the CPU and so forth. So here I have the send button. Let me actually also start the receive part here. And I'm going to do receive. Right? OK. So there's a couple of things I need to add, because you know the joy of developing for UWP, where you're actually in tasks. And you need to invoke the UI. There you go. Everything right here? So just pray for things to work. Compile. And we'll see what happens. So that specific device, I should now see it in this little guy, right? Boom, appeared here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to monitor what's going here in this app. And then I'm going to start this UWP app on my Windows machine and hope for the best. Wow, that's a UI. And let me send. Boom. Oh, message arrived up there in the cloud. You have to believe me, because that's an app on my PC here. But it's reading from the IoT Hub. Like, trust me. You can try the same experience yourselves, for sure, with the device that's left here. OK, and if I want to send a message, I'm going to say, hey, hello, send that. And the device is listening for that. And boom, I see the hello appear here. I'm a really good coder. So then it has another hello at the end, or goes, yeah, whatever. Carriage return something. Yes, there you go. So like few, you know, manipulations in Visual Studio, I was able to get a device to connect using that really nice extension. So that's a way of like to simplify your life. So I was mentioning the PCL stuff now. So let me go into the PCL stuff. Same thing. I'm still developing for devices. So I'm planning to have devices that will connect. I will create a new device ID. For that, what I'm going to do actually is I'm going to copy that connection string here, and I'm going to show you how to do that here. IoT Hub Explorer login. So I'm logging in like that. And then I will say IoT Hub Explorer create. And I'm going to call that PCL device. And I want to have the connection string returned to me. Because now I'm going to do some things manually. So here is my connection string. This is a unique connection string. Each of the devices that will connect to an IoT Hub, they have their own connection string. They generate a SAS token in order to connect to the hub. I can go into details about that in the Q&A if we have time for that. Cross-platform application, yay, hey. I'm going to create a PCL device here. And I'm going to see what happens. If I didn't break all my installations of Visual Studio all across, we should be good. So here what it does is basically, as you might know, uses Xamarin in order to create a common code for various mobile devices. I don't have a Mac. I don't have the simulator. I'm just going to play with the Android version here. So I didn't mess up the UWP one, so hopefully I won't mess up this one either. There we go. So what I need to do here is to include a NuGet package. That's the way you are getting the library, the SDK, for Azure IoT Hub. So I'm going to browse for. So don't make any typos in this search thing. You might know, because it doesn't work. Like, if I don't spell it correctly, it doesn't find it. Outrageous. OK, install. And here what's going on is like it's getting all the NuGet packages, dependencies for my PCL app to be able to connect to Azure IoT Hub. All good in there. What do I need to do here, if I remember correctly? I need to get some of my cheating code snippets. Yes, I won't accept that. So it's actually finishing the install here. And maybe it's going to pop up for some other question, but maybe I can code in behind. Come on. Init. OK. Cool. So here I'm creating a device client. I have a connection string. I'm going to use that. You saw that I copy-paste the connection string earlier on from the IoT Hub Explorer. This is a unique connection string. So here, can someone tell me what the problem is? What is it? No, there's a problem. Down there? Awesome. If I have like, and we're talking IoT, right? So everyone is saying billions of devices. And so I'm going to have to go manually and deploy all of that? No, actually, yes, you do, right? No, you don't. There you go, thanks. That's the last one. Stay. I have a cool demo with the robot arm. I'm not giving it away. So yes, there's a problem here. But this is a sample. The way you would provision these connection strings would be using our newly announced today device management feature in the hub. So we announced a public preview. To be honest, it's really early preview. But the idea is here, to provide tools that will be in the cloud that will allow you to generate device IDs and to have a way to deploy them on your devices, right? So we're working on that, working on the various solutions, because various devices don't have the same way of connecting to the web, of protecting data, and so forth. So that's coming. We have that in mind. So if you see demos with hard-coded connection string, don't freak out. This is not the way you're going to do it at the end of the day. Okay? It's just for my own personal convenience. I hope developers are not listening to that. Okay, PCL, I'm going to actually now create the client in my class. Right, I need to have a couple of, maybe someone can educate me later on how to add, I know there's a way to add the using statements in the snippets, but yeah, I'm not good enough yet. So here I initialize the class, and what I'm going to do, if I remember correctly, I have that, I'm going to initialize also the listening part, right, okay, and that's here. That's here. Let me see if that looks good. I'm going to start this task. I never know what that thing appears, right? Boom, it's writing tasks. And this one will wait forever for something to arrive. We'll decode the message. And we'll send a response back to the IT Hub. We have a handshake mechanism that allows to make sure that from the cloud, when you send a command, it's well received and vice versa. Okay, so that's the function for that. And now what I should do, because I have a class, it knows how to create something when I instantiate that class. What I want to do now, if I'm right, is to add, where am I? Okay, so that's my class. This is this guy, this is this guy. I'm trying not to mess up the code here. In here, if I'm right, I'm going to add a function. And this function will be about send. I don't have any more devices. No one responds my questions now. That's not funny, guys. I feel alone here. Okay, so here my class is ready. Certainly filled with bug. I've not slept in 3 days. So we'll see what happens. And then you can just like send me a big whoa if it works. Let me go into my Droid application. And there's an onCreate, there's a button click here. So eventually what I can do on the onCreate is create the instance for the class, right? So I'm going to create a little something here called my class. I'm doing like live. It's not compiled. Let's compile that and send. Yep, boom. You know, I'm coming from the C++ development world, where when it builds, you're happy, right? So here I'm just like, you know, with these advanced languages, I'm just like, yes! And everyone's looking at me, what? It builds. Yeah. I'm sure people like share my pain, and I'm going to tell you about it anyways. So here is my client. When I create the guy here, I'm going to wait a little. I'm going to say, hey, equals new, my class. Am I all good now? Okay. And here when I click, I'm going to do client.sendMessage. And how about we send something like that? Okay. Message number. And I'm a dirty developer, so I'm going to do that. Okay. Boom. All good? Looks good for you guys. Let's see if I can start the name later. I didn't start it before because I totally forgot, but that's fine. It's going to come here, so we have this nice emulator. So I'm using, for that case, I'm using VirtualBox and the Xamarin Android Player because I like it, because it's Microsoft now. Yes, true. Before, I could say, yeah, the open source community, we love you, and so on. That's Microsoft. Can't say anymore. That's fine. It's still cool, right? So I would do the same thing for iOS, right? So you've seen like all that development where this thing is starting here, and hopefully it will do something. In the meantime, what I can do actually is go here and say, hey, I want to monitor the events from that device, right? IoT Hub Explorer, I'm going to actually, there's something I need to do here that will not look very pretty, but that's OK. The monitor event in our IT Hub Explorer does not support the login method yet, so we have to put that.
And that's okay. Monitor events. Who remembers the name of that device? Yeah. Too late. Okay, so that one is listening. So you see command line tool is listening to what's going on here. This guy needs to be unlocked, I guess. And the application is here. And here I have command line outputs. Let me try and send a message. One click. One message. Yay! One click. One message. One click. One message. One click. Okay. One message. And eventually, I can send a message as well. Send. Boom. And here in my output, I should see, oh, hello. Okay? Back and forth, PCL application, some code, two lines, right? A bit more, five lines. And off you go. You have a nice PCL application. So that was for PCL Node. Let me show you a little bit of Node now. But before I'm going into the Node thing, I want to show you a couple of things. I can kill this guy. Don't need it. What I want to show you is that the fantastic Azure IoT SDK's repo. That's going to be your home screen for your browser because it's beautiful. They're all like, totally crazy, the guy. What is he talking about? Indeed, it is beautiful. Here we have a bunch of SDKs. Here are all the SDKs that we're building for Azure IoT. There's nothing else. Everything is in there. We're not hiding things from you. And actually, if you look at the various branches, you see work in progress. Yeah, like typically, we thought that it would be cool to look into having a Java wrapper around our C library. This is the way we developed the Python one. It was pretty straightforward and cool. I'm going to show you that real quick. And the idea with the Java wrapper was to optimize the code base, the quality, and so on. We do have a native Java SDK as well. And so at this point in time, we are at that place where we're just like, OK, we have the two options. Obviously, we don't want to maintain both. So we're going to ask all of you guys to participate in the discussions and, you know, voice your opinion on what we should do in there. And that's true for all the rest. We get a lot of traffic in our SDK. We engage a lot with the partners, with the customers, with developers. You can see here, Arthur is doing some stuff with UWP. Actually, the stuff he's doing is actually adding more protocols to the UWP library, which are today only support HTTP, while all the other ones support all protocols. So this is our SDK. And I want to bring your attention to the Node one, for example, because all of them have the same kind of things. We have the code of the actual thing, but you also have a bunch of samples here, very like simple samples. All the code that I wrote, my snippets and so on, everything is coming from here because real developers are doing the work of giving you instructions on how to build things, right? So the documentation, we have some on Azure.com and so on, but lots of the documentation is in here in the GitHub repo, and we have a bunch of MD files as well to help you. One that I kind of like also is the Get Started folder. That one contains, I think we added some, about 85 docs, 85 unique docs. They're not copy-paste, not all of them. That actually, as you can see from the names, are about running the sample on Node using blah, or running on Raspbian, the C library, et cetera, et cetera. It's a bit of a maze here, but we're going to have a nice tool to navigate through that set of documents. So that's going to be your starting point for doing stuff. Like the Python, for example, here you have all the instructions, the prerequisite on your machine, what do you need to install, how you prepare your machine, how you replace the connection string in the code, which is the bad practice. Remember, bad practice, don't put the connection string in the code, just for samples and so forth. So this is our GitHub repo I wanted to show you real quick. Let me go back to Visual Studio once more, and I think it's the last time I go in there. Python developers in the room? Okay, I don't have any more bugs, but thanks for answering anyways. Let me create a new project. Python, where's Python? Somewhere down there, right? Python, and I'm going to go with a from existing Python code. So I have a clone of the repo on my machine right here, and I compiled the Python libraries. They're actually I remember you a wrapper around the C1, so native code and so on. So I built that for Windows. We have all the make files for you to build for Linux as well. So you can use Python Linux for connecting a device. It's going to be called Python device. And what I'm going to do is point it to the code, which is in my folder. Let me go here. Everything is called IoT on my machine. Azure IoT SDKs. Guess what? Python device samples. Select folder. Next. And that never works. I don't know why. Let me select MQTT, finish. And I noticed that there's a bug in the tools because it actually selects another PI file as your starting point, but that's fine. Never mind. So here what I want to start is this guy. So once again, not exclude, no, start a step. OK, there you go. And this guy here is a full-blown sample that will do everything for me. I'm going to add a new device ID. I like to add more. I'm going to call it, guess what? Python device, create. OK, this is my Python device. I'm going to copy the connection string here. And then I'm going to paste it where it tells me to paste it. OK, boom. There you go. And then it's F5. Boring. So basically, nothing to do here. It's supposed to send stuff. Let's see, data. Ooh, I was not fast enough. I think it's done with the 6 messages. Oh, sorry, cancel that one. I'm going to restart it just for the fun of it, just to show I'm not lying. But then you'll see actual data coming to the cloud on websites, not on my local app, so you're going to believe me when I say it's going up there. Let me start it again, because I see your doubts. You're just like, eh, everything on the PC. We can't believe him. Boom, all the messages are here. So my Python application is actually sending data to IoT Hub. It is sending data to IoT Hub, right? OK. And you've noticed the pattern? The more we go on, the less I code. Isn't that cool? Let me try and send hello to see if this guy responds. Yeah, boom, hello. He reads that in the middle here. So our devs put love brackets before and after. I'm not sure why. It must be a Python thing, not a Python developer. But anyways, you got the idea. I've got this Python thing all put together and working. That's fantastic. So some will know me. Some know me, right? Some know me. Some know me, right? Okay. There's a project called connect.io that I created a couple of years ago, last year, something like that. Like, time just flies. This project, don't go there right away. It's using old stuff, Event Hub and so on. But there's work in progress here, IoT Hub, the secret bridge in public, where I'm working on updating all the connect.io project to IoT Hub, so that you're able to use the latest and greatest features of IoT on Azure. So whatevs. Let me go in my direct connected. So the only thing I work for now is Node, right, and the website. Just like want to be plain honest with you guys. And actually, there's a sample called Intel Edison Grove. And in there, I have this nice MD file that tells you what to do. And the reason I'm going there is because I'm lazy. And what I'm going to do is just copy-paste that here, right, which tells me to download stuff. So I'm going to go on this little tiny device here. I want to show you that little tiny device. That's not the device. That's the device. Can you recognize that? No one answers. I don't have any more gifts. Intel Edison. Woo! One of them. OK, so this little device is connected using Wi-Fi. I think it's connected. We'll see. And what I'm going to try and do is develop an application, a Node application, deploy on this guy, and make it run to connect to connect the dots this time, right? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to actually go into this really connect.io website. That's my website. It's here. I will go into my, come on, connect.io site. OK. Let's give it some time. I'm going to go into my resource group, which is called connect.io hub. And in there, I will see that I have this nice IoT hub. There's a third way to get access to the device IDs that is new from last week. That would be interesting to have your feedback on, because it's a read-only way of dealing with device IDs for a IoT hub. and this is in the portal. And because you go to the portal, because even though Olivier said it was lame, sometimes you go there, you can actually retrieve connection string. I was actually whining last week to the other PM saying, yes, useful, it's totally useless, don't do that, like developers won't like it. And I've been using that feature since then, maybe a dozen times already. So it's not too bad. It's a read-only. So these are not the place to create device IDs. This is the place to retrieve the connection strings for your device IDs. So I'll keep it like that. And I'll try to stay focused a little here. Because I'm not, I'm going to copy that. I'm going to go into this little command shell here. I'm on my device. Yes. I'm going to do a cd node app slot. So for those who have been doing some Intel Edison, there's a cool feature in there. There's that folder in root called node app slot. And they implement the auto boot of whatever node project is in that folder when the device boots. So you don't have to care about, you know, playing around with stupid files here and there. And this guy being connected, what I'm going to do is do that and copy three files. I think it's three files from the connect.dots project, which are related to the Intel Edison Grove sample, because I have an Intel Edison with a Grove kit on it with a bunch of sensors. And it's actually doing then an npm install. I'm going to show you the way it looks. So the files I downloaded are these ones here. So there is one called Intel Edison CTD.js, one which is package.json, and one which is settings.json. Settings is the place I'm going to put my connection string. A bit better, right? It's no longer in the code. It's in the configuration file that I can provision. Getting there. The package.json defines the dependencies. One of them is an npm package called connect.dots. Right, so you don't need to care about IoT Hub either. I'm including that for you in there. OK, let's see how it did. Oh, it's installing all the Galileo I/O stuff. It's going to take a minute or so. So while it's doing that, let me introduce you to something else. Right? OK with that? There's a robot arm here. What I want to show you with that robot arm is something funny to do. So let me start this app. So this robot arm is controlled using IoT Hub, it sends telemetry data. It's using an embed device, which is a C microcontroller here. And this guy sends data up to IoT Hub. I'm reading telemetry. I'm showing in the connect.dots website, and you'll see how it looks like. And I'm sorry for that. This is the guy. It's called Robot Arm Demo. Duh. And from here, I'll be able to see what's going on with that robot arm here. The idea of this demo is to say, I've been aggregating a few things. IoT Hub to ingest the data, Stream Analytics to apply rules on that data, that push the data into an event hub. This is where the alert will be read, right? My connect.dots website reads both from the IoT Hub for the real-time stream of data coming from the robot arm. Let me see. Yeah, bring it back home. So it will read the real-time telemetry data from all these servers here. And I'm sweating because I hope it's going to connect. And it's also reading the alerts from the event hub, right? And so it's going to display charts about all what's going on here, and it's going to display alerts because they've been posted to that event hub. We also have a machine learning algorithm. All that demo will be open source tonight if I can finish it. But basically, all the demo will be open source for you to look into. So we have a machine learning API that is called from a worker role to detect anomaly on temperature. This is why you saw the hair dryer thingy. I'm going to try and trigger an anomaly up there. And the data, the other data you see, everything's coming from these servos. Pretty cool. Temperature, voltage, the angle, the rotation, and the load. And here I have commands. So this website, which is an ASP.NET website, on the server side of things, I'm using the service client for IoT Hub so that I'm able to send commands back to the robot. So let's, for example, ask it to say hello and send a wave command. And this guy, because we need the camera, right? Where is the camera? It's here. Yeah, I'm going to try that again. All right. You guys can see it. Can see it? Yay! Obviously, yes, that's good. This guy, let's push it to the left so that we can see what's going on. This is a load once again. I'm going to do a wave. I'm going to do a resume because this guy went into an anomaly. Yes, and it's waving. Hello. Okay, cool. So, wait, there's more. So controlling a robot from the cloud, that's not the smartest idea. I don't think so. It's cool for demos, but I don't think it's the best idea. What I want to show you here is something different. So I have the robot doing something, right? It has its task. It might stop because of the anomaly in temperature. No. So this thing has its task. It has a real-time controller. I'm going to stop it manually. The real-time controller is saying, woo, something is wrong. Let me stop the thing here. But there's no operator in front of the robot. It's kind of useless, the beep. So what it's doing right now, it's actually sending a notification to the cloud. So I have here the notification. I'm showing it here in the chart for the demo. But you can imagine that this one is picked up by a worker role that uses Logic Apps. You know Logic Apps? A very cool Azure service allows you to trigger processes outside of your realm. So typically, if I want to send a tweet, I bring Logic App, very simple setting, Twitter account, trigger the Logic App, and boom, it's going to send a tweet, right? You want to trigger an action, like open a ticket in some, you know, customer relation management tool, you can use Logic App. It's going to trigger in Dynamics, whatever. So you can have the robot arm itself saying, I'm doing not good, all right? Eventually, here's my log for data. And it's going to trigger a process that will send someone to go fix that robot arm, right? So that's the idea of that simple. What's going up here is, so this guy has stopped. So I am here, the operator, the other side of the world. I'm in Germany. And for example, we say, yeah, see, everything seems to be all right. So what I'm going to do is restart the robot. And eventually have a camera, because I'm an operator, so I can see the camera. I didn't think of that. That's cool, right? The camera, whatever. And so I can resume the process, and boom, it restarts remotely. Okay, so now let's try something more risky. So machine learning is called based on the telemetry data, and it's going to continue doing that. I don't know how long. We'll see. So machine learning is called for detecting anomalies on temperature. So I'm going to do something risky. I've never tried it. To actually blow on the robot arm and try to make one of the temperature data go up. It should go up, hopefully. And we'll see after some time, it shouldn't be too long, we should have anomaly detection triggering. It didn't trigger, just stopped this routine. So we'll see if it triggers. It should be fast, but I've been playing around with that. So we'll see, okay? While it's doing its thing, well, actually, everything is pretty up, okay. I think the anomaly detection thing is a 10 or 15 seconds. Anyways, we'll see that later on. I'm sure it's going to trigger. Let me go back to my Node thing. You remember Node? I was actually working on deploying something in there. So this guy here, let's keep it there. I think it's fun to have it. And I'll bring this guy up here, right? Which is basically all the thing that I've been doing, deploying all the Node modules and so on. You can't imagine how hard it is to go back and forth to demo like that. So I'm going to deserve that big beer. Let me see what's in there. So we have the Node modules, the package JSON. What I need to do is to edit the settings.json file, because this one is like blank, right? It's the default one that's coming from the connected.dots project. But remember, I was there, and I picked the connected.dots. Anomaly detection is not detecting anomaly. Whatever. Well, I'm not sure why. So I was here. Where's my device ID is here. And we need to reduce this guy here. And I had this device ID here, right? OK, let me go back to the state here. Oh, I have this guy here. And this is a nightmare of the Windows. OK, let me go here and replace the code for the connection string. That is like kind of weird because it's no longer the right size of the screen. And it went away. All right, let me just dink. All right, boom. No, redo. Okay, you got the love command line editors. Let me go there and say paste. It's already doing strange things. That's good. I have no clue why it's adding these kind of things here, but I need to fix this guy. I would definitely appreciate your patience. Don't go away. There you go. And the device ID is, oh, yes, Collins. Thank you. I've got my French buddies here helping me. They expect to have a device. What was the name of this guy? GrooveKit. Okay. So that's what I need to do here. And if everything went well, I can actually start this guy, pray, hope that all the sensors will turn on, and that it's going to start sending data to IoT Hub. But then, come on, connected, device ready to connect this dot, and sending data to this guy here. Yes, come on. No? Hello? Oh, no, that's not the right one, is it? Always the same thing. Might not be on the right side. Yeah, it's here. Woo! Okay, works. That's good. Stay seated. That's fine. So we have like a bunch of sensors here in that sample. If you want to play with temperature and humidity, boom, put my finger here, it goes up. It's pretty much real time. I got that one. Let's see what it says. Did you just blow? Stopped. Damn it. That was a bad idea. my bad. Oh, yeah, still, yeah, it's thinking about it. I think it's the website that says, well, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. Let me refresh that guy here. And the other one, yay, anomaly detection. Remember? Yes. thank God. Okay, so my robot arm demo actually is not finished. The other guy is sending his data. You imagine, I mean, like the rest of the thing is like, hey, it's sending tons of stuff. I closed it. Yeah, the site is like, So you imagine, like, you know, like very simple, two files from the repo, JS files, node runs, pretty straightforward. The one thing I want to show you real quick before I jump into the last part, the last demo and some Q&A, is, and the most risky of all the demos, you can't imagine how risky the last one is. I'm not sure it's a good teaser either. So what I wanted to do is start this UWP app. This app actually is a web app running on my machine. And you'll see, if everything goes well, if it starts, it will show the same robot arm demo website, right? It's a website, same, the web app is running. I just have this little guy here. And what I'm going to do, someone can guess what I'm going to do? No? Hey, Cortana. Robot control taps.
Sure. Sending command taps to robot.
So what's going on here is anomaly. Yeah, temperature anomaly. That's fine. Let's resume this guy so it continues waving because he's happy. Right? And so, me too, like two-thirds of the demos are good. Almost there, the last one. And so what happened here is that my UWP app is actually interacting with Windows, right? So I can send the control using Cortana. And this guy, the same way I had the buttons there, was able to send the commands to the robot. Right? Pretty cool. Pretty straightforward. Just took me a day, 2 days. To implement the Cortana implementation based on the website because some stupid colleague told me yesterday, why don't you add Cortana to your robot arm demo? It's David. You know David?
Oh, yeah.
Right, okay. So I hate him, but now I love him because it works. Okay? So you've seen the robot arm demo. Pretty cool. We can have all this telemetry data you can see flowing in real time. We can act on that data doing some analytics using Streamalytics. But what I want to show you real quick now is the T-shirt. Whoa, and this is the scariest part because the device has been on forever, and it might not work, but that's fine. So if I want to go back to my slides for a second, I want to show you something real quick. Oops. I promised myself, whoop, this one. So this one is a remote monitoring solution that we were planning to have for Scott Goo's keynote, but got cut. So I bring it back for the demo here. So what got cut is basically the custom UI that you will see in a second that I will ask for your participation. Once again, this is a very risky demo, and I totally ask you to be indulgent. I don't have any more devices anyways, so it's just counting on you. So what we have here is we have Logic Apps getting Twitter feed. We have a function I'm going to show you in a second that gets triggered, that is called triggered by Logic Apps, and it will send data into our solution through IoT Hub. So it will be like a device, right? So I will see Twitter device sending Twitter count. Then I have my band with my Windows Phone here device that I hate because the Bluetooth connection to my band is terrible. So it can only work. We'll try and see what happens. And this guy actually will send my vitals, like heartbeat, you don't see it super high now, and skin temperature super high as well, because I'm pretty hot now. And we'll see that on the graphs. And we'll interact. You'll tweet, I'll squat, and we'll see who goes higher. Yes? OK? You want to do that? And I'm going to show you the other function here. So when Streamalytics job, based on the rules defined in a remote monitoring IoT solution, will trigger an alert, we have another function that's going to read what's going to happen in there and will send an event back to the shirt, right, through IoT Hub. Make sense? Straightforward, if it works. So the tweet, the hashtag is Azure IoT. I'm not kidding. You should tweet. You should tweet. You should tweet. You should tweet so that we can see the tweets going up. Otherwise, I'm the only one here, and you're not having fun. OK, so the website is here. Oh, actually, let me show you. So this is me. This is me, my vitals. If I go squat, it should go up. I don't know how much I need to do. I've not rehearsed that. I could try the skin temperature. That might be easier. That's hot. That's going to go up. Let's see how good the band is for measuring skin temperature. I'm good. Doesn't work. No effect on me. Kevlar. That's my skin actually right here. But this, like, this really moves, really comes from my band. We can discuss about the accuracy of all of that. I don't see tweets, though. It's kind of weird. Not sure why. Oh, tweets. Cool. Let me show you how that works, and then we'll trigger the shirt, because that's what you're all expecting, so me blowing out with that shirt. And I want to go into the, and you're actually mentioning me on Twitter as well. That's cool. Thank you, guys. Thank you. You can follow me at oblock. Thank you. I'm going to get in trouble. So there's an IoT Hub resource group here, and tweets go up, 27. So that tweet number will reset at some point. So I'm not sure why. That's a function thing. It's not retaining the state of that variable. You'll see the code that it looks like. So here I have my resource group. I intend to publish all that code open source as well. So you will be able to do the same and impress your boss with a shirt that lights up. It works for me. So the function apps, anyone went to any of the Azure Functions session? Cool. Can you come and do it? OK, I have a few ones here. So the first one is this guy here. This one is a trigger on HTTP. So when HTTP will be called by Logic Apps, in that case, I'm not showing Logic Apps because it's boring. It's like Twitter link, right? So editing Logic App is pretty straightforward. And I'm running out of time anyways. So the idea is that this function here will be triggered by Logic Apps. It's using the Node SDK code sample, like plain sample, to send an event. And remember, it's going to send the event to the IoT Hub, right? So Twitter device, boom, send event. So when I have a Twitter that comes in, and actually you might be able to see your tweets here, right? Tweet number 27, Azure IoT, let's do this. Azure IoT, does it work? What's that? I have names down there. OK, you can hide. Okay, so what we're going to do, which is very risky, is trigger the second one. But before triggering it, let me show you what it looks like. So the second one is triggered by Event Hub. Right? So Event Hub here, I define the Event Hub, which is the output of the suite. And it's actually connecting to the IoT Hub using the service SDK for Node. So in that sample, you have both sides of the Node SDK. And it's going to trigger the shirt number 3. 1 and 2 were for the keynote. 3, it's me. 4 is, I don't know. I'm not giving away a shirt. Well, actually, that's a good idea. I have the keynote, the blue one that lit up. Interested? Yeah? Yeah. Oh, OK. OK. Are you interested?
Yes.
Down there, I heard like the loudest. Yes. OK, let's do that. Actually, this is not the one that we used for the demo, but that's fine. It's the Scott Goo one. Isn't that cool? Sorry? No? It's not QA yet. No, it's not Q&A yet. I talk, you listen for now. Okay, because we're there waiting for that shirt to light up, but we don't know why it would light up. Yes, actually, Event Hub. So I need to go back to this little guy here, send a little prayer. So the tweet count is at 35. Let's see what you guys can do. Let me edit that rule and say that when it's going up like over, was 35, right? 45? Save the rule. And let's enable this guy. Let's go back to the dashboard. Let's pray. Dashboard, come on. So the count will come up, hopefully. And if you guys are doing a good job, this shirt will light up. And if not, I have a plan B. And a lot of sweat. But that's OK. Come on, guys. Tweet, tweet, tweet. Tweet, tweet, tweet. Should I cheat and add more tweets than you're doing? Because I feel you're not very motivated by the tweets. OK, so let me go here, Twitter. Let's see what account is. In the logs, takes time, right? Boring. Azure tweet is, let me do that. Boom, let me do it for you. 36, I'm tweeting. 37, 38, 41, 41? That was 40, right? Something should happen. 45, come on, guys. 40. I'm not doing squats, I'm not. I promise. Oh, it went down to 31, 45, 46, 47. Yes! And no. Come on, guys. It should happen. It should happen. Or my device is not connected anymore. Oh! And it's real. It's real. It's real. Okay, guys. That was it. So thanks very much. So what did you learn today? Let me go back here. You learned that going to sessions for Azure OT gives you a lot of presence. you need to fill in an evaluation before I forget, right? The shirts light up, and I'm not giving that one away. I'm keeping it for myself. These are like your call to actions. Like, come and greet me first. I forgot to add that one. Otherwise, you can check out a blog article published last week, which is a developer's introduction to IoT Hub, which actually is the less funny part of that presentation that I did, but more in-depth, talking about security, protocols, what you need to know, learn, whatever, and all the resources, links for you to get started. The GitHub repo, build sessions, it will be at Channel 9 if you want to see me on fire again. There's other sessions to look at, but you know them. And there's an Azure clinic. I've been told, like, you guys should go if you have an Azure problem. They're going to sort out your problem for real. And then you need to fill in that evaluation, snapping that. And then off you go get a beer, or we can get some questions. Question?
Two questions. Is that a Freedom K64 embed board? Or what are you using?
For the robot arm, I'm using the Freedom K64F, yes.
Yeah. And then the other question was,
I can show you. So for the suite by default, you have IoT Hub, Stream Analytics. They have several jobs, actually. And they are storing into blobs for the what we call the call path that other services can later on come back and read the blobs and do Power BI analytics, whatnot. And we, at the same time, push into different event hubs based on the type of data. If it's a metadata message coming from one of the devices, it goes into a certain event hub. If it's another blob, actually, there's another couple of blogs. So we have the two out of the IoT hub through Stream Analytics.
My question was, why didn't you go to table storage as opposed to blobs?
Yeah, valid. So the question is, why do we go with table storage versus blobs? Good question. I don't know. I mean, this is certainly the scenario that was like the easiest to deal with at the time we developed the suite. We're going to kind of change all of that with the functions addition and actually external contributions like feedback like these ones, totally. This architecture is a sample, is a start point for you. It's your boilerplate, right, if you want. So go change it. That will not impact what you pay for if you pay for the suite. It's time, like the way it is calibrated, you can change things and it will still be the same price. Another question? You all want to go away? Thank you. Have a good night.